In the book of John, we have been going through scripture by scripture on John chapter 15, on abiding in Christ. And today we are going to go on verse 12, just one scripture because there's so much in it. And verse 12, John chapter 15, 12, and it talks about Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." It's amazing when you're reading 1 John chapter 3, it's like a commentary on this verse. 1 John chapter 3. It's really amazing. And anyway, and if you remember, we have been going on abiding in Christ. And if we are not abiding in Him, we cannot exercise this true God's love. So we are the branches, and we saw that there are two branches. And one is one branch produces fruits. The other branch that does not produce fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And we saw the branch that produces fruits. Our main goal is to glorify God. And we saw that the main reason why we are here is to glorify Him and bear fruits, that He will be exalted. And also we saw that even in creation, we saw the whole creation, there's a layers of creation, and we saw even in creation, we saw even the sun, the moon, and all the nature, they're glorifying God day and night. And we saw even the animals, you know, the birds and so forth like that. God has given all these things for man, and so we use this creation of God, sun, we use the sun, we use the vegetation, we use everything. And then even all the creation is glorifying God, but man is not glorifying God. And we eat the animals still. And so we saw all that. And now, last time we saw how we need to be joyous, you know, the spirit of, you know, even when we are going through trials and difficulties, still we need to have the spirit of joy in us. So today we are going to continue on verse 12. As Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." And believe this is something really important for us to hear this, and because this has a lot of significance. And we are going to see today that the importance and the meaning of this commandment. And we are going to see Christ's love to the believer. We saw Christ's love to the believer last week. We are going to touch a little bit on that. Then the difference of love between the unbelievers, they love each other too. So what is the difference between their loving each other and Christians loving each other? And then we are going to see the reason for this commandment. What is the real reason for this commandment? And then we are going to see some of the ingredients in loving one another. All right? So, now, let me ask you something. Can you give a commandment to your teacher? Can you tell teacher, this is what you ought to do, I'm going to command you? Or can you give a commandment to your boss? Can you give a commandment to your parents? No. But they can give a commandment to you. They can order you what to do. Why is it that you cannot give them, but they can give you an order? Because the reason is, they have more authority and power than you. They are over you. Now, Christ is the commander and the chief. As a commander and the chief, He can give an order. He can give a commandment. Just like a parent has authority over the children, because they took care of the children when they were small, and still they take care of the children. They are the one who brings the children up. But at the same time, we see that Christ is the creator. Not only brought us up, but He is the creator. As a creator, He can give anything He wants to, any commandment. So, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, we see that very clearly. Colossians 1:16, For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. So when he gives a commandment to his creatures, whether we like it or not, it is our duty to obey him. Remember, the demons obeyed Christ. The nature obeyed Christ when Christ calmed the storm. And how much more we should obey him, his children then. His commandment is to love one another as he loved you. It seems to be kind of easy, just loving one another. Seems to be easy outwardly, but in reality, there are many who are disobedient to this mandate. Because really speaking, if you see this is a repetition of Christ said before. Where did he say before? John chapter 13, verse 34. Said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. When Christ said you love one another, it does not mean it's a one-time act of loving somebody. It really means it is in present tense. It means that you keep on loving one another. Okay? It never ends. When Christ said that this is a new commandment that he's going to give, it doesn't mean he's adding something new apart from the Old Testament. It doesn't mean that this is entirely new in the Bible. It doesn't mean that it's never in the Old Testament. This is entirely new. He's going to add something where you have never heard before. No. It means, it means it's clearly explain. It means that it's newly and more clearly it's explained than before. It's a new edition. Okay, you get some Bibles, the old editions. It's a little difficult to understand. This edition is much easier to understand. So that's what it means. It means like a new song, a new name. All right? Now, where do you find this in the Old Testament then? If it's Christ is going to explain this more clearly. All right? Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19. Starting from verse 18. Starting from verse 17. All right. 19:17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. Verse 18. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. God is talking to the church here, to the congregation. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, Christ explained this more clearly than before to the church. This was speaking to the church during that time. Now Christ clearly explained this even more better to us. As he says, he's giving a new commandment that you love one another. Now turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. 1 John 2:7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Christ commands us to love one another as he loved us. We saw the love of Christ to the believer last week, if you remember. And we saw that Christ loved his disciples. He loved his disciples that he laid down his life. And In verse John chapter 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one other than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. If you turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 15, John 10:15 said, as Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, this is true love. This is laying down your life for the sheep. That is sacrificial love. That is agape love. And Christ is the one who did that. And so, as the kind of love Christ is talking here, he's talking a sacrificial love to the brethren. Love one another. It's the love that Christ had to the church. And we see that love, and we imitate that love to our brethren. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 says, 1 John 4:11, but if God so loved us, that is God's sacrificial love, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Wow. If you want to be perfect, then love one another. Because I'll tell you, it is not easy to love the unlovable. So here God, so he loved the ungodly, right? Mm-hmm. He loved the sinners. He loved the ones who are totally wicked, us. Remember, and God loved us. That is amazing. But in the same way, we need to practice that love, exercise that love, and if you can do that, you'll be strong, mature Christian. That's what John is saying here. Love is the most important thing in the Bible as a Christian. So when we understand his love for us, the believers understand that this is a mandate that is given for us. So, when Jesus says here that love one another, this is not talking about any sexual type of love, or it's not talking about a brotherly love that you have in your family to one another, but it is really talking about agape love. That is, his unconditional love, his sacrificial love, and love without any limitations, without any strings attached. Now, people in the world, the unbelievers, they too have their love in their clubs, in their societies, in their fellowship. We can see them helping one another. So what's the difference between Christian love and their love? We see them all the time. They help one another. The unbelievers love only whom they like to love. The carnal man likes to love someone who is friendly to him. They like to love somebody who would have maybe a lot of money, maybe a lot of wealth, maybe a lot of authority, maybe a lot of power. They love to love that person. But they have no desire to love somebody who is poor and low in state, in low conditions. They have no desire. But you might say, how about I have seen unbelievers that they really do care of the poor. They even clothe them, they feed them, and some of them even send money, probably to Africa and so forth like that. And they do have that love. What about that? So what's the difference? Let me tell you. The difference is this. They do this, even if they give clothing, money, and feed the poor, they do it for their pride and their glory. The motive is not right. They do it to show to the world how good they are. Even if you remember, sometimes you will see on television some of these Hollywood actors and so they are taking all these donations. Even the 9/11 happened. So many gave so many millions of dollars. This one gave that amount. And they, you know, it's being broadcasted to the whole world to show, wow, so and so gave $1 million to this person. It's for their pride. It's for their glory. But it's not right in the sight of God. God hates that. Now if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Here. Matthew chapter 6 verse 1. Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven." It says here, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before as the hypocrites do." As what in television it happens. They are not trumpet, they are broadcasting to the whole world what they are doing. Jesus said they are hypocrites, right? And then he says in the synagogues, in the street, that they may have glory from men. See that? "Assuredly, I say to you, they had their reward." They already got their reward. "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." That's true Christian giving. Now that's the difference between the unbelievers trying to help the people, feed the poor, and so forth like that. That's pride. That's to show, I don't need God, I can do it myself. You know, I will tell the whole world, this is what I did, look how good I am. That's pride. God hates that. Now, before we see some practical examples, let us see the reason why Christ gave this commandment. And I'll tell you, this is very much connected to evangelism. Loving one another. It's very much connected to evangelism. We are going to see that. Remember the picture of the church here. It is, we saw the picture to the wine, right? Christ is the wine, and the church, true church, are the branches that's producing what? Fruits. So the entire church from the beginning to the old, from the beginning of the Old Testament until Christ comes, we see as a vine. Even the present church, the believers are in Christ and we are in the vine, right? And we saw previously the goal of the Christians is to produce fruits. And we cannot produce fruits on our own. We need each other. What I mean is there are some who are spiritually strong, some who are weak, and some who need prayer, and some, you know, so we need to encourage one another when somebody is down. You know, we need to pray for one another. When somebody needs edification, we need to edify one another. So we need each other to produce fruits. When somebody prays for you and so forth like that, you feel, oh, I feel good now. Now I can be, you know, I can serve the Lord now, you know. So we need each other. So this is all, it's so important that we are in the same vine. In Christ, we need each other. Also, if you remember, in the scriptures, Christ is called the head, and we are called the body, right? So, it's not that this body consists of different parts, right? We have the universal church, that's a true universal church of Christ, and that we all, they have their churches, different members, they are all connected to one head. Alright, so Paul gives the example in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, Tration, 1 Corinthians 12, 14. Paul says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where should be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where should be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased, and if they were all one member, where would be the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body seems to be weaker are necessary, and whose members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Paul really hits the nail on the head. We need to have the same care for one another. Just like how I care for my ear. It doesn't mean Paul giving these ears, the nose, the eyes, and so forth. They eat all one another, just like the body. That's what he's saying here. We need to care for one another. So we need to have the same care for one another. This is what Jesus is exactly saying, that we should love one another just like our body parts are different, you know, but all these parts are different, they function differently, but yet they all need one another. Okay? They all need one another. They may look different, but just because they look different, I love all the parts of the body. Right? Now, because they function together, our body, as one. Right? It's so important to need that. So that's why to love one another, because there's a function going on in the church. We need to function as one. We're going to say this. Now, do you know that the Boeing 747 airplane is made out of 6 million parts? And next time when you fly at the speed of 500 miles per hour, 35,000 feet high up on the air, you will be glad to know that one part is not flying, but 6 million parts are composed together. Just imagine if one part is flying, you'll be just dead. But all 6 million parts are assembled together in one machine, then it flies. Amazing. In the same way, we need one another to bear fruits. So the whole purpose of bearing fruits is what? To convert souls to Christ. That's the whole purpose. That's why it's connected to evangelism. Now let us take some practical examples here. Okay, as I'm saying, these are not only the church here, to the lot of people listening, we are sending these tapes everywhere, so we take some practical examples. Now, let's say a new person comes to this church, and we don't like the way he looks. We don't like his dress, and we become cold to that person, and leave that person alone. Tell me how you're going to convert that person to Christ. In reality, you have no desire at all converting that person to Christ, because you think of yourself. Then might as well join a club. Not the church, because of one person, it can have a great effect on the whole church. Because that new person, when he comes, and if one person becomes cold or speaks something not right to that person might not come again at all because of one person. How many times we, within our congregation, sometimes we say, you know what? As an example, I don't like the Thai people just because of one person did something, right? Or I don't like the Indians or whatever like that, or Sri Lankans or whoever, you know. I don't like the Mexicans or the whites or the blacks, or just because of one person. It It's the same thing. What I'm saying is, when one person, if one person comes to the church, if one person is called to that person, not lovingly accept that person, it can have a big effect on the whole church. That, now, James said in James chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3, he said, and you pay attention to the one wearing, let's see here, James chapter 2, verse 2, for if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man with in a filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit there at my footstool, have you not shown partiality among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? So this is what is the whole thing is, as Christians, we need to love one another unconditionally, without any limits. So next time when a new person comes, let's all greet that person, you know, with fervent hearts, and let's serve that person unconditionally when a new person comes. It's so important. Let us take another example. Let us see if there's a person who decides, who come to church and he wants to learn the word of God, but we see that person has a lot of weaknesses. He's growing in the Lord. He's just a child of God trying to grow. But we see that person and say, wow, man, I don't like that person because he's not like me. We cannot judge people according to our standard, right? And you tell someone, you say, I hate that person. Because maybe that person did something wrong, or whatever like that. You say, I don't like him, I hate him. Then later we see that person doesn't come into the church. Because they get stumbled. And you may say, well, I'm glad that he's not coming to church. But let us see what the word of God says. If you turn with me to John chapter 1 John 3:15. 1 John 3:15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in abiding in him. This is pretty strong language. If you hate your brother, it says you are a murderer. It's just like murdering somebody. And murderers have no place in the kingdom of God. In verse 4 says, 1 John 4:20 says, someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who has not seen? It's true. How can you say you don't love your brother, but say, I love God? You don't see God, but you see your brother. That's what he's saying. Very practical things. Verse 21. And this commandment we have from him, he who loves God must love his brother also. See the word must? It's a commandment. It's must. It's mandatory. And if you say that you love God, you must love your brother. You cannot say, I don't like the looks. He's dirty. He smells. Nothing like that. So, now turn with me to Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus says something really strong here. Luke 17, 1. Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. As Christians, I'll tell you, we all, as Christians, we are not perfect. Offenses will come, right? We will stumble people in some way. But if you are doing it in a very all the time, knowingly, continually, that's what I believe Jesus says here, what woe to him whom they come. Then he says, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. That means if you stumble, one of the little ones that is trying to grow in the Lord, they have weaknesses. A baby, Christian, trying to walk, will fall. And he will do some things that is not right to do as a little kid. Right? And we should not offend them. We should not stumble them. Then Jesus said, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, how many times you got to forgive him? 7 times. Forgive him. That's what it is saying here. And if they're not right, walking right, tell him nicely. Open rebuke is better than hidden love, instead of stumbling them. 1 John chapter 2 verse 9 said, 1 John 2:9, who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for what? Stumbling him. You're in Christ. The whole purpose is to live in Christ here, in the Word, in prayer. So important. Otherwise, you can be a stumbling block to a lot of people. They are walking the flesh. So you get the message here. Remember, we are in the same family. We have one Father, right? Our God. We have one Savior and one Lord, Jesus Christ. All the believers in the church are the children of God, one family, and God is full of love, and we cannot practice agape love if we cannot practice agape love here in the church. Even the function of the church depends on how we love one another. As we are the same family, children of the same Father, and our purpose is to bear fruits and convert souls, and praying for one another, bearing one another's burdens, and forbearing one another, forgiving one another, admonishing one another, building up one another in the faith and in holiness. These are all loving one another. These are all functions of the church, and we cannot function that if we don't love one another. How can you admonish one another? How can you bear somebody's burdens, right? Bearing one another's burdens literally means somebody's weight. Somebody is carrying a heavy weight, and you go and let me give you a hand, you know. Then the other person doesn't feel that anymore. That's what it is. So it's so important that even the church cannot function properly if you don't love one another. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness or deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So Christ, he loved us, and he loves us unconditionally. He said, you love one another as I have loved you. Christ showed us the example of love, and we should imitate that love to one another. And Christ lived for others, not for himself. And this is agape love. Love is not selfish, but giving wholeheartedly with a godly spirit. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, John said, "Hereby perceive we love our God because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." You know, a lot of people, they don't want to lay, I don't want to lay my life down, you know, because I got my things to do. We are busy. I got my things to do. There is selfishness, greediness, and self-centeredness. Now let us see some of the ingredients of this agape love. First one I see is humility. Not thinking highly of yourself. You know the story of John chapter 13, how Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And verse 14 he said, John chapter 13, verse 14, Jesus said, "You call me teacher and the Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. And if then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Wow. You know, pride hinders for us to love another person because of pride. As I told you, carnal man loves to love somebody whom he wishes to love. Our carnal nature likes to love somebody who is better looking and has a lot of power, authority, more money. You know, that's our carnal nature. But that's a fallen nature. But there is Christ in us, totally gives a different perspective because our attitudes are changed now. We are, our old nature has been crucified. We are living in a new nature. A new man is different than the old man. So here we see even Christ, he did not think about high of himself, right? Even as God. But he stoops down. Stooping down is humility, and he makes even the proud ashamed by washing the disciples' feet. And Christ gives an example to behave in the spirit of humility. That's the whole lesson, behaving in the spirit of humility. And condensed, it is really condensation to one another. Condensation means, it means condense means what? You just, it's big. If you may think you're big, bring it down to small, you know, compact. Make it compact, okay? And so make it small. Apostle Paul in his ministry, Acts chapter 20, verse 19, he said, Acts chapter 20, verse 19. "The Lord, with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews." Here we see humility is an ingredient of this agape love, loving one another. You got to have humility first. And that humility is, it's not yourself, it's of Christ. Okay? The second one is hospitality. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. "All things have fervent love for one another. Love will cover multitude of sins." Just talking about fervent love. Just after that, Peter says what? "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." Our English word hospitable comes from the French word, guess what? Hospitable. You knew that. Right? So which means receiving and entertaining strangers and guests. Not only that, it means to give them food and lodging without reward. That is hospitality. That's the word originally it means, that to receive strangers and guests and give them food and lodging without asking for a reward. This is true Christianity, and this is agape love. Again, we need to crucify our pride, we need to crucify our selfishness, our greed, and think of others more than you. Give whatever food you have and be kind to one another who are entering your house. Show the love of Christ to them. It is not only giving a hug is loving one another, because even the unbelievers hug each other and kiss each other. You may say in your heart, I cannot give my food. This is what I like. This is my food. This is what I like. Maybe I should give, I'll give the leftovers for that person. Right? That's what a lot of people do. And I'll tell you, you eat the leftovers and give the best food for them. Now that is sacrificial love. Right? If you're talking about sacrificial love, you eat the leftovers. Give the best to that person. That is true Christianity. And God is pleased with that kind of motive, right motive. Because God looks at the heart, right? So, if you remember in Romans chapter, I'll tell you, unbelievers cannot do that. They'll give the leftovers to the other people. Romans chapter 12 verse 9 says, love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, and distributing to the needs of the saints, given to what? Hospitality. Remember the story of Abraham in the Old Testament, chapter 18, how he became hospitable to the three strangers who came. Remember, one of them was the Lord, right? And remember, he was so excited to see them. He washed their feet and he ran and killed a goat, you know, killed an animal and cooked and willingly served them. That's hospitality. Okay, number three is giving to the needy. Other ingredient, okay, is giving to the needy. Jesus said, love one another. This love is a mutual love. And the proof of this love is shown in action. Okay? Now turn me to Acts chapter 2, verse 44. Acts 2:44. All who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. See that? So here we see the unity of the body. How can you do this unless your souls are knitted together with one another in one spirit? Otherwise you cannot give to another person if your souls are not knitted. So turn with me to Acts 4:32. The multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. There you go. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but had all things in common. I'll tell you, this is voluntary giving. You give because you see there's a need in the body. Not because you have too many things. I want to get rid of some of this old junk. So I'll give it to John or James, you know, because, you know, I got too many things here. That's not just right. This true love is having a concern of the other person, readiness to help in need, in time of need. Giving not grudgingly, but with a cheerful heart. Now this is really the fruits of the Spirit, right? Bearing fruits. So remember, James chapter 2 verse 15, if you turn with me to James 2:15, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? What James is really saying is, his brother is really in need of physical things here, okay? And he says, I'm going to pray for you, brother. And the Lord will bless you. And you go home in your nice car, and you have a good meal, or go to, you know, nice restaurant, and your brother is starving there. That's not real Christianity. That's hypocrisy. So it is so important. Remember the story, I think I had given you this before, how during the World War II, this soldier who is a Christian, he went to get some donuts, and he saw this poor orphan boy outside looking at the donuts, hungry. And he bought a dozen of donuts, and he came, and the first thing he did, he saw this poor little kid and gave the whole bag to the kid. And the first thing the kid asked us, sir, are you God? You know, that's how they see. They see through Christianity. Now I'll tell you, it's so important that we need to really practice this. It's what we learn. It's so important. There's going to be some sacrifice. You have to sacrifice a lot of things. It's going to hurt our flesh. But I'll tell you, I look at it this way. I say, you know, God, we're not going to live for a long time here. It's going to be very short. So whatever I do to help one person, and that's reward, is going to be in heaven. We should have a new attitude and say, I got a lot of things to do. I don't have time for that. You know, a lot of times our time is for what? For ourselves, thinking of our own self. But what about the person who is in need? You know, that's what his brotherly love is. That's what his agape love is. You know, crossing the barrier, that's what is love. Now, Jesus said, 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, also talks about the same thing, what James said, 1 John 3:17. But whoever has his world's goods and sees his brother in needs and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in tongue, word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Wow. You know, it's so important. I remember when I was in the Philippines that there was a time that financially we didn't have even to eat food, regular good food. We were eating sometimes some bananas, you know, and dry fish, and we were trying to just survive. And I remember, you know, how Pastor Hui, so he's not strong in doctrine or anything like that, but one day he came all the way across the whole country, I mean, across the island, you know, and brought us some bread and eggs and some bananas for us. This is true love. And I remember every time when I go to Pastor Lando's church and preach in his church, then Pastor Lando, myself, and Pastor Nanding, and some of the brothers, we go to the Four Square Church and we preach. And they knew that I didn't have the money because I was not getting income here. People here are self-sufficient and they have all the foods and they have so much comfort here. And they were not giving me the money. But here, the poor people, they were putting money in my pocket. I'll tell you, they gave out of their poverty. Now that is true agape love. Now, the result, I'll tell you, you cannot have this love, what we are talking, unless you're born again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for the love is of God. It's not of the world. And everyone who loves is what? Born of God and knows God. So it's the regeneration. The result of regeneration is what? Result of born again is what? This true love that we can practice. Wow. Now if you are not born again, and you say, well, I get a lot of love from the world, and I enjoy the jokes of the world, and their laughter, and man, that is real love to me. But I'll tell you, if you turn with me to James chapter 5, verse 1, James says, James chapter 5, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Wow. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. Your days are heaped up in treasure in the last days. Wow. That's pretty strong saying. See verse 5. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and in luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. I'll tell you, aren't we fattening our hearts today with cholesterol? All the things that we eat today. Instead of people on the other side of the world who are, they are dying without food. Starvation. And here, the rich, the people who say, you know, I have a lot of love, I have a lot of money. James is saying here, man, the judgment of God is going to come. And Amos said that, Amos chapter 8, he said that, I will turn your feast into mourning and your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloths. And he says, I will make it as a mourning for the only son, and it's going to be a bitter day. And here, God is saying that if you think that you can have worldly love, that is going to go away, and the wrath of God is going to come. You're heaping up what? Wrath against God every day. And there is a day of judgment that is going to come. And if you don't heed to the word of God, and if your name is not written in the book of life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. And so, this is really important for us as Christians to the body, that, you know, it's a love without any favoritism, okay, and to everybody, and it's an unconditional love. And it is something sacrificial, and we need to, if we can just grab this love for ourselves, wow, you can be perfect before God. And this shows you the result of your regeneration. And I'll tell you, God can do wonders in your life, and can, you know, just because of one person being bad to another person can have a big effect on Christian, for the whole church. In the same way, the other side is because of one person who can love somebody unconditionally. They will say, wow, that church, because of one person, they will say, this whole church is really great. I love that church. You know, in the same way, they can say, you know what, I really love the Mexicans. They are so good because of one person help. Oh, I really like the Filipinos, you know. And so it's so important. It's really pleasing to God. It's so important. The whole hub of Christian, the whole wheel can turn, but the hub is love. All the other things are connected to love. Without love, you cannot do anything. That's why the love chapter, if you read, you know, 1 Corinthians talks about the love chapter. So, let us pray and ask the Lord to fill us with the power of the Spirit. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for what we have learned today, and that we will be able to practice love. Oh, Father, we ask, Lord, that we need to start in the house of God, Lord, everything. Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that the words will be, that we will treasure up these words, Lord, and hide in our hearts, Lord, that we will not sin against you. And cause us to see the cross, how you loved, each one of us unconditionally, Lord. When we were unlovable, when we were haters of God, enemies of God, and Lord, how you loved us first. Now that is amazing love. We didn't deserve that love. In the same way, Lord, that you loved us so much, how we need to love our brethren. Father, we know, Lord, that we cannot do it in our flesh, but it has to be done in the Spirit. Because our flesh is weak, it is soul under sin, it needs to be crucified, but the only way we can love somebody is by the Spirit of God. We can love the unlovable, and we can go the extra mile, and we can help in times of need. We can be hospitable to them, and Lord, not thinking of ourselves, not thinking of tomorrow, because you will provide our needs. Now increase our faith, Lord, and cause us to walk as true Christians, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.